Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. We are continuing the series, Love Where You Live. And our key verse is Psalm 92:13. Hope I got that right. I wrote it down a few times this time when I was listening to Hannah. In my version, NASB, it says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Where God has you, you will flourish. And the title of today's message is, I'm learning to be content, not complacent. I am learning to be content. I'm learning to be satisfied where God has me and what he is doing in my life and not complacent, just letting life happen to me and going by. I'm learning to be content. I'm learning to be satisfied. You can be content wherever you live when you find your satisfaction in God. When we focus on him, and not the physical area that we are at that one point. And for Father's Day. My example comes from Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. Paul could say that. Paul could do that. Because he had the Father's heart for everyone around him. It wasn't necessarily the place that he was in physically. It was the people that were surrounding him that had his focus. And most importantly, his main focus was on the Father, was on God, was on Jesus, not the area that he was in. Love where you live. Sometimes this is a difficult one. Love where you live. How I encountered this for myself. Loving where you live. That was a hard question for me. That was a hard statement for me for a long time. I had heard other pastors talk about it. We had even gone to conferences where it was titled, Love Where You Live, and they encountered the city that they were in. And it's like, I don't know. I don't really love where I live. and that's where I found myself in for a long time. And Hannah talked about it a few weeks ago, when she reminded us of the time where we asked people, the congregation, how many love living here? How many people want to be here where we're at? And like one person raised their hand. Everybody else is like, I want to sky out. And I remember being the person that was like wanting to raise my hand. I was like, I don't really want to be here, but I don't want to like let people know that I don't want to be here. And so I'm like, okay. Loving where you live can be hard sometimes when you don't. And there's a few reasons why people don't love where they live. And this is a dangerous place to be because we're taking our focus off God and the things he wants us to focus on, and we focus on ourselves. But sometimes that's a hard thing to do because where I live, there are past hurts that I think about. Because where I live, it reminds me of the people that I've lost. I just want to get away, God. Because if I stay in this house anymore, it's going to remind me of her. It's going to remind me of him. And I just can't do it. And those are like the hard things, but there's also like the dreams and stuff that God puts on our hearts. Because When I first came to Christ, I was like, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. And I started dreaming about all these places that I wanted to go for God. I wanted to go to Africa. I wanted to go to Asia. I'm like, God, I'll go anywhere just to praise you and just spread your name and spread the gospel. I will do anything. And those thoughts consumed me. That's what I thought about all the time. I was like, yeah, I just want to go. I just want to go. I wanted adventure. I wanted adventure because I have lived in this area my entire life. I have lived within 20 miles of this church ever since the day I was born. And that was hard because the other people in leadership, like Hannah's moved away for a while, Brian lived in India for a while, Nat lived in South Carolina for 6 years, but I have always, always, always been here. And I wanted to experience new places, new things. And it was just on my heart so much that God, I just want to go. And I battled with it for so long. Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew those things too. He knew past hurts. He knew of people he had lost. He had thoughts of other places he wanted to go spread the gospel, and he wanted adventure. Paul knew all those things and still finished what God had called him to do. It says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Even with all those things, Paul did what he was called to do. Amen. So if you could look in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. Yes, we're getting there. Where are the pages turning? Oh. The phones are clicking. Philippians chapter 4, doot, 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 doot. Verse 11, doot, doot. Paul is speaking to the Philippian church here. He's written a letter back to them. And he's telling them, because he just received a gift from them, how grateful he was for that gift. And he's telling them all these things, and in verse 11 he says, not that I speak from want, because he just gave them something, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Oh, I got that that thing the other day when Hannah was preaching. It just hit me. Learning to be content and not complacent. This is an action that Paul learned over time. After facing a bunch of hardships, he had learned to be content. He had learned to be satisfied. Are you learning to be satisfied where God has you? And I, like Paul, am learning to be content. Oh, it is so amazing when you learn to be satisfied in what God has for you and him alone. Oh, once you can get to that point where you're just like, God, you are enough. You're enough for me. Ooh. I'd wanted all these adventures. I'd wanted to do a bunch of things. But it seemed like in my own life, everything would never change. Everything was still the same. And I remember for a bunch of years, I had longed to be a pastor. I'd longed to be a preacher. I'd longed to speak before people. And it just never seemed to come. And I mean, for years, it was just the same thing. I would be like, God, I'm learning your word. I'm reading your word. I'm spending time with you. I'm praying for people. But it just never broke through for anything to happen. I was like, is this it? Is this as good as it's going to get? And it broke my heart. Because I got to a point where I didn't want to be here anymore.
because I thought this is as good as it was going to get. I was never going to break through. I was never going to be anything here. I was just going to be another person sitting in the pew. And it wasn't good enough for me. And it was hard. But then God spoke to me through the events in my life and through things that had happened. God wanted to do great and mighty things in my life. And he wanted me to do this, what I'm doing now. But my problem was, I was focused on me and me alone. God, I'm doing this. Ain't I doing so great? Ain't I reading your word so awesome? Ain't I praying for those people so good? Ain't I giving you enough? So awesome. I'm so cool. I'm so this. He's like, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the people that I've put in your life. And it's about me, God. It's when I got that in my mind, when I started focusing on others and not myself and where I was, that my life changed. Ooh. And I want the same for you. Who? Paul says in verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live with prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And this is how he did it. He said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Ooh, yes. That's his word. Lord. Ooh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in this room right now. Thank you, Lord, that we can see that you are enough and that we can do all things through you who strengthens us. Ooh. Wow. Ooh. Paul was writing this. Those words he just said, I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. I know how to live in the circumstances. I know the secret. And the thing is I can do all things who strengthens me. The most powerful thing about this is when he was writing this, he wasn't writing this from a place where he was like in a church, pastoring and things like this. He was writing this from imprisonment. If there was any place that you could be that you did not want to be, it'd be in prison. And he was saying this with such conviction, with such heartfelt, like, guys, thank you for the gift you've given me and all these things, but I've learned to be content. I've learned to be dissatisfied wherever God has me. And they're like, he's saying this from prison. And he's like, the secret is I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And when I see that, no matter where I am, I can find satisfaction in God. Yes. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, he says, Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. This is what it's all about. The greater progress of the gospel. God has you where he has you for that reason right there, for the greater progress of the gospel. And once I understood that in my life and I stopped focusing on myself and others, that this is where he has me for the greater progress of the gospel, and I started putting my focus on that instead of focusing on myself, I naturally started to love the area that I was in. I went from not liking Ithaca at all to seeing that now and almost being on the verge of tears when I see people do the things they do down there. Not because I am excited about what they do, but because my father's heart for the area aches for them. And that's what I want you to see for your own lives, is to gain that father's heart for the area that we live in now. When you go down to Ithaca or Cortland or Dryden or wherever you live and wherever you interact all the time, and you see people doing and living a certain way, that it would break your heart like it breaks God's heart when they see that. But you don't get angry with them or mad at them, but you just want them to come to the truth and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so their lives will be completely changed forever. Ooh. So I'm just going to pray right now for Ithaca, because that's on my heart right at this moment. Father God, we know you have placed us here in this area for a reason, and it's for the greater progress of the gospel. And we know you have great plans for Ithaca, and that there's breakthrough in Ithaca, Father God. This area where people say it's so spiritually difficult, it's so hard. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible for you. And I'm also praying now, God, that you would lay on us the Father's heart, the shepherd's heart for this area right now, that we would come and see this and not only be brokenhearted for what we see, but also have an extreme excitement for what you're about to do in this area, Father God. So that when we look at Ithaca, we can praise you for what you're going to do, God. May this be a place of revival. May this be a place of renewal. May this be a place where others come to see your face, Father God. Amen. Let Ithaca be known as a place of revival. Yeah, who? Yes. And it's something to be excited about. God wants us to be excited about the places we are. It's not just I love where I am. I'm excited about where I am. When I look around these hills and I see those things, I'm not just saying, oh, this is great and beautiful to look at. It is. But I know the people out there need him, and that excites me more than anything. It should excite you where it's like, I got to go out there. I've got to speak his name. Other people have to know because I love them. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave. We're his hands and feet. God loved the world. And when the Bible talks about the world, there are different, there's like the world, like the earth. Then there's the world, like, you know, the world. It says be in the world but not of it. But there's also the world, which he's talking about, the people of the world. He loved that. Amen. The question we ask ourselves is, do we love the people of our world? For a long time, for me in this area, I didn't. It's not that I hated the people. It's not anything like that. But I saw Ithaca as an obstacle to where I really wanted to be in God. I really wanted to be somewhere else. So God is like, I have Ithaca. I have this area right here. Go minister to it. Go minister to it. But I was like seeing over here. I'm like, God, you know, I want to go to Africa. I want to do all these things. He's like, I have Ithaca right here for you. Why? And I'm like, no, God, I don't want to see Ithaca. I want to see Africa. I want to see England. I want to see the Philippines. I want to see those places. But he's like, I have Ithaca right here for you. It's right here laid out before you. Go see that. It wasn't until I lifted it up and I said, I can see Ithaca, that my life changed. Do you see our area as an obstacle, something in the way of where you really want to be? Or do you see it for the opportunity that God has laid before you? That's the place where he wants us to be. Look at the opportunity that I have right before you. Look at all the people around you that I've called you to love. Don't look past them. The people in Africa aren't any better than the people here. Don't look past. Tell you what. For the longest time, looking past Ithaca, looking past the people here, getting sick of seeing it. But now that I see it, and I see its beauty, and I can, like yesterday, I was working down in Ithaca, and I could see the beauty of the streets that I hadn't seen in a long time. Just the people walking on the sidewalks. And in the past, they would bother me for what they were saying and doing and stuff. But now it was like, oh, this is so cool. This is so amazing. Because I loved them. And even right here, looking past Ithaca is not good. But even worse, I was looking past Thrive for a long time. And I was asking God to put me in a place of leadership when he's like, lead who? You don't even want to be here. Then I saw you. And then he's like, okay, we can do something with this. The Apostle Paul was sent all over his known world. He had the dream job. He was going all over the place. But every place he went to, he didn't know he was going even further than that, I think, in sometimes. So wherever he was, he loved the people. And he was faithful to God's mission in his life all the way to the end, but in each and every circumstance that he was in. Wherever city he was found in, he's like, okay, God, I love these people that you've put in front of me. I'm here to witness to them about who you are and share and spread the gospel. Ooh, right here in this town. And if you want me to stay here forever, boom. Or if you want me to go here, I will do it. Because my main focus is on you, so I can focus on them, so that they can in turn focus on you. Amen. The question we must ask ourselves, are we learning to be content, or are we stuck because we've become complacent because of our situation? Paul knew the difference and with full confidence he knew where he was supposed to be, even when it was dangerous. Sometimes we place our circumstances as an identification of where we were supposed to be. Like, if it's dangerous here, then that obviously means that God does not want me to be here. No. The situation is not an identification of where you're supposed to be. Where you're supposed to be is told to you by God, and that's where you're supposed to be no matter what the circumstance of your life is, whether the good things are happening, whether bad things are happening. Because where Paul was, there were cities and stuff where he went into and faced all kinds of persecution, and it said he went there the next day, and he stayed there for a while. Where for us, if we face persecution here, and we're like, maybe God doesn't want me here because I'm facing persecution, maybe I should leave. Paul faced persecution and went back. Paul was stoned, thought he was dead, was left out of the city. When he came to again, it said he went back into that town. We can't let our circumstances determine our love for the area that God has given us. The circumstances that we're in may not be easy, and they may be hard, or they may be doing really awesome. Are you at where God has you? Hannah was talking about being double-minded a few weeks ago. Are you where you're at because God wants you to be here? Or are you where you're at because you've become complacent? There's a bigger picture. God has you here for a reason. The mission is to spread the gospel. The mission is to have a father's heart for the area that you live in. And here are a couple keys in closing, because I know it's Father's Day and it's time to go get some food soon. How to develop your heart for your town where God has you. Pray for your city. When was the last time you prayed for this town? I mean, earnestly prayed for it. For me, one of my struggles was, like I've said a bunch of times, I love England. And I have an alarm set on my phone for every day at 12:10 to pray for England. So I haven't done it in a little while, but I used to do it all the time. And I found when I started praying for them, that sometimes the Father's heart came over so strong for England that I would cry and be like, God, I just want them to see you. I just want them to find you. I know all the stuff they're doing is crazy, but I just know that you have a love for them. Now I pray for this town. This is a hard one for me. Pray for the people in power. Pray for our leadership. Pray for the governor. Pray for the president. And see where you can serve your town. Don't just be here trying to get through here and trying to get to the next destination. Develop a heart for this town. Develop a heart for Ithaca. Develop a heart for Dryden. Develop a heart for Cortland. Develop a heart for this church, because God has you here for a reason. He wants you to love where you live because you know that He wants you to love Him most. And when you do that, you will love where you live. Sometimes we sit still and wait for God to move when He's asking for us to move first. Don't just sit around and wait for God to do the next good thing. Stand up and say, today I'm going to pray for Ithaca. Today I'm going to pray for my church. Today I'm going to pray for my family. Today I'm going to pray for this area. Today I'm going to go out and serve. Today I'm going to go out and do these things, because I know the will of God for your life is to pray for the people in your life. I know that much, that that's His will for your life. While you're waiting for Him to open up His will for your life, don't wait for the situation to change. Change the situation. Father God, we just thank you. You guys can rise if you want to. Father God, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come here and to get to speak in front of everybody here today. And I ask, Lord, that whatever is deposited in them, Father God, will come out this week in a way that they're like, okay, I've got to pray for Ithaca. I've got to pray for the area I'm in till God moves me somewhere else. And I just want to say this, if you're praying and you're like, I don't even know if God wants me here, I'm telling you right now, if God wants you somewhere else, He will get you there. So there is no question. So be rooted and grounded in His love. Be rooted and grounded in loving Him, and just do what He's asking you to do. And if He has you move, He will move you. So don't be double-minded. Love where you live. God, thank you for allowing us to love where we live. Thank you for allowing us to give the opportunity to love this area that we live in. Oh, and it's an excellent opportunity, Lord. It's an excellent opportunity. And we're just praying for souls saved today, Father God, that when we go out and encounter people in the world, because you love the world, you sent your Son, and you're sending us to the world, Father God, to go out and reach those. Ooh, we just thank you, Lord, for that today. And if you're sitting here this morning and you say, I don't even know if I know God, it says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you believe with all your heart, ooh, you will be saved. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're raining down. If you can right now, put your hand on the person next to you, on their shoulder. Oh, yes. Yes. God, as they're doing that right now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're releasing right now all that they have, all that you have for them, Father God. Whew. And thank you, Lord, that you're breaking off any fear right now that is hindering them from going out into this lost and dying world, Father God, because we know that you're with us. Paul says that he can do all things through him who strengthens him. So we just pray that right over us right now in the name of Jesus. God, and we just thank you that you're taking whatever is hindering us from going out into this world, whether it is a lack of love for our area, whether it is because we are so focused on ourselves, whether it is because we're just not sure of your love, let it all be swept away right now in the name of Jesus. And let there be breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you. We thank you for an encouraging word that you are breaking over us right now. And let nothing stop us. Let nothing stop us from going out and reaching your world. Oh, and we just praise you, Jesus. We praise you. And I thank you, God, because there's people right now in pain, and I just thank you right now that you're healing them right now. Who I see a shoulder, I hear a shoulder being healed right now in the name of Jesus. And if that's you, start moving that beast around. Ooh, freedom right now. Unlock the sinews and tissues in that shoulder right now, Father God. Thank you. Ooh. And I want this. There is freedom in him. There is freedom in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Chains break off right now. Deliverance come right now. Woo! There is freedom in Christ. And one last thing. There is a joy in the Lord. There is a joy in the Lord. There's a joy in our salvation. When you walk the streets, when you go home, do people want what you have? We should be the most joyous, the most happy, because we have a great future in him. We have an amazing future in God. There's an amazing future for this area when we love where we live. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.